chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we should be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my child, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. These are our sacred stories.
Thank you.
Jesus, Peter, James, and John trudge up the mountain. They went up the mountain to be apart by themselves, the scripture says, but they're not alone for long. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah each had similar glowing experiences. Moses returned to the people glowing following his second trip up Mount Sinai to meet with God. He was so shiny that he had to cover his face with a veil. He made his second trip up the mountain after 40 days of praying. Elijah encountered God as a small, whispering voice after traveling 40 days to get to that same mountain where Moses met with God. After this encounter, he covered himself in a blanket. Elijah, you'll remember, instead of dying, was carried up to heaven in a chariot that shone so brightly it looked as though it were on fire. So Moses spent 40 days praying, and Elijah spent 40 days traveling, and Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. Each of their encounters with God also involved intense light. After Moses' encounter with the divine, he shone so brightly that he hid behind a veil. Elijah was carried into heaven in a shining chariot, and now Jesus shines. We've largely assumed it is this shining and 40-day similarity which make Moses and Elijah the natural choices to join Jesus and the disciples on the mountain. But I wonder if the covering, the hiding, should also get a little more attention. Jesus glows, and then Peter says, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter wants to make tents for everyone. "This is amazing," he thinks. "Why don't we just stay right here? Let me just build a structure to keep us safe, and we won't ever need to leave. No need to change a thing." Does Peter, consciously or not, realize that if Jesus can be transfigured, then Peter will be changed too? And maybe change frightens him. So let's pitch some tents, keep things the way they are, hunker down and ride it out. Maybe it will all just pass us by. I can stay here in my tent and everything will be the same. Jesus will be the same. I will be the same. Is this the impulse that has Moses covering his face? Is this why Elijah hides under a blanket? Rather than blame Peter, Moses, and Elijah for their fear, their narrow vision, maybe we admit our own. Transfiguration means change. Encountering God means change. Change is often hard, often painful, and so we run from it. We build dwellings and refuse to be moved. We cover our faces, we cover our bodies. Maybe we convince ourselves that the change can wait, that it isn't really necessary, that the time is not right, that the problem that needs to be addressed isn't that bad anyway, and that the new way to do it can't really be that much better. We tell ourselves that we're just too old, too young, too fat, too thin, too rich, too poor, that it's too Tuesday, too Saturday, too scary, too strange. But change is perhaps the only thing we can count on. Certainly on this Evolution Sunday, change is hard to ignore. The world around us changes. It is everywhere we look. In the mirror, as our faces gain more wrinkles. In children, as they grow taller and stronger and smarter. At the world around us, Streams wash dirt and stones from higher places to lower places. Untended gardens fill with weeds, roads with potholes. With powerful telescopes, we can see new stars coalescing from galactic dust, just as our own sun did more than 4.5 billion years ago. The fossil record reveals profound changes in the kinds of living things that have inhabited our planet. Trilobites that populated the seas hundreds of millions of years ago no longer crawl about. Mammals now live in a world that was once dominated by reptilian giants, such as Tyrannosaurus rex. Change is constant. Nothing stays the same. Living things evolve. The theory of evolution by natural selection, first formulated by Charles Darwin in his book On the Origin of Species in 1859, as Lucas in The Time for Children explained so well, is the process by which organisms change over time as a result of changes in habitable, physical, or behavioral traits. Species evolve. They change to better adapt to environment, to survive and reproduce. Evolution tells us all life is connected and related, and diversity is a product of modifications of populations by natural selection, where some traits are favored in an environment over others. All life is connected, and all life changes. Changes. Peter, we get it. Moses, we understand. Elijah, you're not the only one who wants to stay in bed all day with the covers over your head. Change can be hard, big changes and small changes. Peter suggests the tents, and before anyone can respond to his idea, a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my child, the beloved, listen to him." Jesus changes. The disciples change. Moses and Elijah change. God's love remains. At Jesus' baptism, he hears, "This is my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." And now he hears again that he is beloved. We are connected in origins. We are connected in love. We are connected. Yes, change is everywhere. Change is a given. How we respond is not. What if we choose love? What if we live with the constant of change by adding a constant of compassion? What would you like to change, to evolve over these 40 days of Lent? I'm not suggesting we use Lent as a time to renew or recreate all those New Year's resolutions. I'm not talking necessarily about self-help. I'm talking about changing the world, which of course does involve changing ourselves. This Lent, what if we focus on the changes that will make our world more just, more compassionate? Changes that will work toward healing and peace. What if instead of giving something up this Lent, what if we give something of ourselves, our empathy, our listening, our connections? What if we decide we will leave our tents, our veils, our blankets, and be the change we wish to see in this world? In poet Cleo Wade's TED Talk, "Want to Change the World? Start by being brave enough to care." She gives advice to a newborn. She says, "The world will say to you, we need justice. Investigate. Find truth beyond the stories you are told. Find truth beyond the way things seem. Ask why. Ask, is this fair? Ask, how did we get here? Do this with compassion. Do this with forgiveness. Learn to forgive others. Start by truly learning how to forgive yourself. We are all more than our mistakes. We are all more than who we were yesterday. We are all deserving of dignity. See yourself in others. Recognize that your justice is my justice and mine is yours. There can be no liberation for one of us if the other is not free. The world will say to you, "I am violent." Respond by saying, "I am not. I am not violent with my words and not with my actions." The world will say to you, "We need to heal the planet." Start by saying, "No thanks, I don't need that plastic bag." Recycle, reuse. Start by picking up one piece of trash on your block. The world will say to you, "There are too many problems." Do not be afraid to be part of the solutions. Start by discussing the issues. We cannot overcome what we ignore. The more we talk about things, the more we see that the issues are connected because we are connected. The world will say to you, "We need to end racism." Start by healing it in your own family. The world will say to you, "How do we speak to bias and bigotry?" Start by having the first conversation at your own kitchen tables. The world will say to you, "There is so much hate." Devote yourself to love. Love yourself so much that you can love others without barrier, without judgment. When the world asks us big questions that require big answers, we have two options. One, to feel so overwhelmed or unqualified that we do nothing. And two, to start with one small act and qualify ourselves. It's tempting, isn't it, to see the change around us and to want to stay put, to want to hide. Perhaps especially when the changes we feel we have no control over, changes in policy, changes in public opinion, changes in priority. But if we stay on the mountain, if we cover ourselves and are unmoved, then nothing ever gets better. When the disciples and Jesus come down from the mountain, they're met with a great crowd. And among that crowd is a man whose son is sick. The man asks Jesus, and the son is healed. And then Jesus goes on from there, teaching and healing, welcoming children, and then eventually setting his face toward Jerusalem. In Jesus' season of Lent, the time between transfiguration and resurrection, he changes the world, one encounter after another. We are all connected, connected through evolutionary processes and connected in love. We are all changing all the time. Will we choose to change toward love, toward justice, toward peace? We are transformed and transforming, always becoming. Growth and change can be hard. And when we set out to change, when we are intentional and deliberate, change can open our hearts, our minds, our welcome. Change can bring peace. Change can create justice. And so these 40 days, let's devote ourselves to love. Let's move out of our tents, away from our veils. Let's throw off the covers. Let's throw off our feelings of overwhelm and apathy. Let's start and then keep going, one small act at a time, one connection and then the next. These 40 days, let's change the world. Amen.